Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the Veterans Day edition 2020. The program where we gather every day at this time, well, Ben, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America, coming to us from just down the road from Red Rock, Arizona. Ben Bueller Garcia, host of American Warrior Radio. How are you, Ben?
Good morning. Good morning, Trent. I'd like the reference to Red Rock. Most folks probably don't know where that is. It's a suburb of Red Rock.
If probably the most memorable interview I've ever, and I don't interview Ben, excuse me, conversation that I've ever put together in 20 years. Carl Stevenson owns Red Rock Feeders in Arizona, and they feed cattle. And he was telling me about, he's a World War II veteran, and he was telling me about that he grew up a farm boy, lived on a ranch, and he reported in Louisiana, and they told him his first job, because they found out he's a farm boy, was to put shoes on 1,500 mules.
He said, that's a day's work.
Yeah, it was a day's work. He said, a couple hours later, a commanding officer came by and he started telling me how I should be doing this. So I just handed him the tools and walked off. He said, he didn't tell me anymore how to do that. Carl Stevenson, one of the great guys I've met. So tell us about Ben. You do American Warrior Radio. Why? What? When did you start this and what do you do?
Well, Trent, it's my labor of love. I never had to serve in the military, so I consider it my duty to support those who do and who have. And so for 8 years now, we've been doing American Warrior Radio, and our mission is to tell the stories of those who protect us at home and abroad, the men and women of our military and first responder community.
So I thought about getting a veteran, but then I thought, here on Veterans Day, why not get somebody on who could share tons of stories about veterans?
Well, you know, it's intriguing. In our pre-interview, we talked a little bit about it. Neither one of us has served, and so it did seem interesting to, you know, really that's one of the things I try to achieve. And you and I are very, have similar philosophies, Trent, in that I'm also a big fan in a believer in the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so, like your program, American Warrior Radio is a long format show. We're not soundbite radio. We want to spend the whole hour with our guests so we can really get to know them and get to know their stories. And so really that's my way, I believe, of helping to give back to those who served, is by spreading the gospel, if you will. 99% of the people in our country never served in the military, and that chasm of understanding, unfortunately, is growing.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get the same response that I get, because this program is 48 minutes long, and you say, well, I'd like you to be on for 48. Oh, I can't talk that long. And most of the time, you get to 48 minutes and you're like, there's so much more here we need to talk about. And it's because we have been so conditioned and programmed to be sound bites. You can't get to the real core of the issue with a sound bite.
Well, I'm not a big dog like you yet, but I have been pleasantly surprised at the how many, because again, we do our show on the weekends, and I've been surprised at how many people at the national level are willing to spend an hour with our listeners on a Saturday. It's been, you know, we just had Bo Derek on a couple weeks ago. We've had Gary Sinise and Roger, one of my favorite interviews, Trent, or Roger Staubach. What a gentleman he is. And, you know, his story, if folks don't know it, is he had an NFL contract, but volunteered to go to Vietnam. Nonetheless.
Yeah, I did not
know
that.
So just, what a wonderful, just a true gentleman.
When did Bo Derek serve in the military?
It's going to be one of those mornings, isn't it, Trent? You know,
I have history with Bo Derek, by the way.
Okay.
If it's the same Bo Derek that, you know, he was in a movie or two.
One or two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not the first person to ask that question. And normally, I have to share that there are, so we interview members of the military, veterans, first responders, and those who support them. So, you know, Gary Sinise never served the military, but I mean, what a patriot.
He might as well have. After Forrest Gump, he was a Vietnam veteran for life.
Well, okay. Yeah. But he, you know, he falls in that category. I mentioned Matthew Marsden, who's just one of the greatest patriots you'll ever talk to. He's a British citizen. He's been trying to get his U.S. citizenship. But just, I mean, when you come to Constitution and freedom and liberty, this guy, he is on it. He's a joy to interview. So I did have, on occasion, we'll get contacted by publicists or movie studios saying, hey, you know, we'd like you to have this person on. And I do remember one instance in particular, Trent, there was a studio that contacted us about an actress who was in a movie about a Marine. And I'll leave it at that. And it was a good movie. She's a very big name. Would have been great publicity for us. But I looked into her background, and she's never done anything to support anyone in the military. Nothing on the record. No speeches. No foundation. So, no. I said, you know, I'm sorry. That's not good enough for American Warrior Radio. So, Bo Derek is the flip side. She's an honorary Green Beret. Her father serves as a Green Beret in Vietnam. She donates the proceeds and products from her pet care line to military working canines for I believe she was the honorary chairperson of the Wounded Veteran Winter Games, and just what a joy to chat with. And she's just, I mean, her heart and her wallet's in it, so that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I know that she's very conservative in her thought process. I know that she goes to great lengths, but one day I had the Santa Barbara County Sheriff called me and tell me that if I was coming to her house, that I should plan to be a permanent resident of his county.
And what's the story behind that?
As correct as she is on so many things, we got sideways on the horse slaughter discussion. And she, at the time, was trying to take the lead in shutting down the three remaining horse harvesting facilities, two in Texas, one in Illinois. And so what I decided to do, and we're talking about 2007, by the way, Ben, I decided that she had a better plan for these unwanted horses. So I had scheduled a trip to start in Illinois and pick up anybody who wanted to donate a horse and haul them to her yard and dump them out. And the Santa Barbara sheriff caught wind of this and let me know that that would not be a good idea. So okay. That's the history.
Fair enough. You know, Trent, I've learned to stay out of areas that I don't know anything about, so I'm just going to leave that one be.
You know,
I the front end of the horse and the back end of the horse.
I should take lessons from you, Ben, because I'm not good at staying out of areas that I don't know about. I just jump in and pretend that I should have an opinion.
Well, that's one way of learning.
Yeah.
Maybe the cowboy way.
But, you know, in all honesty, what you've told me is I've always had this bad taste in my mouth for Bo Derek because of that one situation. I should now, 12, 13 years later, invite her to be on the air talking about her support for the military. That would be just a really nice gesture. Thank you for planting that seed.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is people do make assumptions. And again, she was just a tremendous interview, and that 48 minutes, if you will, went by really quickly, but there's been others. I tell you, Trent, some of the, and maybe to the heart of our discussion today on Veterans Day, there are the Bo Derricks and the Herschel Walkers and the Roger Staubachs and the movie stars and the Lee Greenwoods and, you know, those kinds of folks you have on the show. And that's great and it's fun and it's inspiring, but there's the folks that people have never heard of,
right,
and probably wouldn't hear of, who are the heroes. And those are the stories. Sometimes, you know, Mike Day, I don't know if you recognize that name. He's the Navy SEAL that was shot 27 mm-hmm. times. And not only did he survive, he dispatched, I'll use that word, the bad guys, finished clearing the house, and then walked himself to the rescue helicopter. You don't even see that in movies. And that happened in real life.
Right. Ben, we are at that first break in the world. Ben Bueller Garcia joining us from down the road from Red Rock, Arizona, American Warrior Radio. He's smarter than I am. He works one day a week. That's pretty clever. We'll take a break. We'll be back with much more Rural Route and celebrating Veterans Day on the 11th day, the 11th month, and what happened on the 11th hour. More after this. And right off the bat today, let's talk about the Certified Piedmontese opportunity. I say it's an opportunity because you as a cattleman have the right to choose which program you're a part of. Maybe it's commodity beef. You're going to be working on them economies of scale then. If it's a niche program, I suggest you look into Lone Creek Cattle Company's Certified Piedmontese because it is absolutely the best program that I'm aware of. You use Piedmontese bulls from Lone Creek on your cows, no matter what your cow makeup is. Verify they are sired by Piedmontese and possess the myostatin gene, and you qualify for the premium. Get more details. We're weaning calves, and they'll be shipping 6 weeks later. That's how it works. Details at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Marlon Will is the man to talk to. Welcome back to Roll Route. Trent Luce alongside Ben Bueller Garcia, American Warrior Radio. Today, joining us on Roll Route Radio, maybe regularly, who knows. He's got 6 days a week. He doesn't do anything.
Now, come on. I've got a day job.
What is that?
My day job is going to be very exciting. It is economic and community development consulting.
Really?
Yeah, I just put your listeners to sleep.
No, actually, I think you perked everybody up. I mean, Bo Derek puts them to sleep. You just perked me up. And I don't want to stray from veterans, but I do want your take on this. So this weekend, my youngest daughter and I, we went to Louisville, Kentucky, which is a 14-hour drive one way. And I've not been a hermit in 2020. I've been in 22 states since May 1st. And Ben, I continue to see hotels and restaurants and small businesses shut down in a way that I just don't see them reopening. From an economic development standpoint, as a result of COVID-19, how's this going to all play out?
Well, it's interesting you asked, Trent. There's two things we avoid on American Warrior Radio. We don't, obviously, we can't use those salty words that sometimes mm-hmm. folks in the military might use, but we also avoid politics, and that's by design because we have so many active duty military on the show. We don't want to put them in that position. That's just a bad place to be. So it's refreshing for someone to actually ask my opinion. You know, it's interesting. I wrote an article for an online publication called The Havoc Journal, havocjournal.com. Most of the authors are military and first responders, and on occasion they'll welcome something from me. And really the background of the article, Trent, was if I was looking to take down the world's greatest superpower without firing a shot, this would have been the blueprint that I would follow. And I'm not saying that, you know, the virus was created in a lab and planted. I'm not going to go that far, but it's the public policy reaction to that and the way, in my opinion, we've overreacted that is causing greater damage than the sickness itself. I'm not denying that the COVID is real. My father-in-law, you know, died during the virus and died alone because of it. And not because of the virus, he had cancer in the heart. He was in a bad shape, but I'd love to take a look at his death certificate to see what they put on there. But coming back to your point, there are ripple effects. And just like you, I'm guessing, have a mission to educate those. I've actually encountered young people, and I use the air quotes right here in the big city, who think that hamburger comes in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And that's where that thought process starts. I would like to see every elected official and public policymaker be required to take a basic economics course because there are those ripple effects that are coming down the line in municipal budgets now. You know, you can't cut the hand that feeds you, being those small businesses who pay taxes and retail and you know, fees, and then expect to still function as government. And so I think we're just at the beginning of that bubble, and those businesses are going to close, and they're never going to come back, and that's going to hurt our communities, obviously.
This is not a partisan statement. This is just the facts. There are too many elected officials, and I'm not talking about only in Washington, D.C. I'm talking about in Cochise County. I'm talking about in the state legislature. I'm talking about bureaucrats that continue to create rules that have never owned a business or made those decisions on the other end. And I think you just illustrated how dangerous that truly is.
And I truly believe that they're and you know, the way I put it is that they've never been on the street end of their decisions. Mm-hmm. And they don't recognize the really our capital, our free market system is a beautiful thing to behold, and sometimes very intricate, but sometimes very straightforward. I mean, simple things like logistics and supply lines. And, so for example, one of my advertisers, I have several advertisers who are gun stores. And, I checked in with them right after COVID and said, look, we're doing great. I mean, it's like printing money. We got people lined up out the door to buy ammunition and firearms, but we don't know what's going to happen 3 months from now because we can't get supply. You know, the fact put down or they're not producing or the demand is so high they can't fill all the orders. And I agree with you. I think sometimes people don't look at it from that 30,000 foot level and say, it's not what's happening today. What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen in 2 months? What's going to happen in 2 years? And how do we, it's just a clothing store maybe is a good example. You know, if you just turn out the lights and lock the door, that stuff's probably, unless there's a riot, going to be there when you turn the lights on and open up for business again. Same thing doesn't apply for grocery stores or restaurants or people that have inventory that's just either you use it or it's going to go bad and you have to throw it out. And, well, you got me way off track here, Trent. But I'm glad
not at all. But Ben, just this morning, when I came in from checking sows, I had three sows have litters last night. Probably that's not a common statement you get on your conversations. But I had three sows have litter. I came in and she said that she had just talked to a local furniture store in a town, about 2,500 people. Cause, you know, we live in central Nebraska. We raise livestock. The people that we know have freezers. They have food storage, not like people in most of the cities that have place for what they're going to cook today. And the whole long drawn down and out story there is about this furniture store has 44 chest freezers sold currently that they can't get. And I mean, that's just one little bit. Whoever thought about a chest freezer and the supply, there's such a bottleneck. The word of 2020 in my world is bottleneck. You can't get what you want to preserve your own food.
And it's a self-inflicted wound. And I don't know. That's my personal opinion. And I just, it frustrates me because there are, and coming back to Veterans Day, you know, the scourge of military and veteran suicides that has been sweeping our country for years now, 22 a day is the number you'll often hear cited. Those, the situations that have led these heroes to that point, to that, that cliff in their life is aggravated by the COVID virus and the lockdowns and the lack of social contact and the depression and the anxiety that's caused. And that's happening with our active duty military too. It's hard enough for a single member of the military who doesn't really have that much. You know, they do their duty and they go back to the barracks or the dorms or, you know, depending on the branch, what you call it. And they may just get on the computer and play all night long. And they're not very good about interacting socially and maintaining that critical human contact. And these lockdowns, viruses aggravated that. And again, unfortunately, I see those numbers going up and they shouldn't have to.
I'm curious if you know the only thing that parallels 22 a day. What occupation from a suicide statistics standpoint?
As far as death rates or suicide?
Suicides currently.
I do not.
Farmers.
Ah, okay.
And ironically or not, I work with a group called the All-American Beef Battalion. And the All-American Beef Battalion, in our 13th year, we have actually worked with Gary Sinise two times. We have served 500,000 active duty, a one-pound ribeye, cheesy potatoes, corn, dinner roll, and dessert. And it's been the most humbling experience of my life to be at Camp Pendleton. We fed 3,000 Marines one day, Fort Bliss 5,000. Fort Carson twice, we fed more than 5,000, but we've also fed groups of 30 and 50. And you get to sit down and visit with these individuals, and I talk to the recruiters, and the makeup of who is in our military is what is really interesting to me. 45% are from rural America, 45% are from inner city America, and the 10% are just the balance of here and there and random. But the people who sign up to be a part of our military today, I just find that quite interesting.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, and let me just clarify, Trent, is it 22 farmers commit suicide a day?
Correct.
Wow.
But the reason I tied those two together is because I don't think that people know what percentage of the U.S. military comes from rural America. So they come back to the farm, and they're not always a different person, if you know what I mean. They're veterans. Yeah. and they're in farming, and they're committing suicide.
I tell you, the people, I've had several Medal of Honor recipients on the show, and it's, I don't want to use too broad a brushstroke, but I'll just say the Medal of Honor recipients that I've had on the show mm-hmm. have all been from very rural areas of America, and I'd like to think that maybe that's part of the reason, but you just never know when people are put in those situations. But one of my favorite shows, we talked about a group that's helping veterans, and they're using the technology, so literally robotic exoskeletons. And one of their clients was a veteran who ended up hurting himself on the farm. He got himself run over by his own tractor and was paralyzed. And his wife or his daughter was getting married in 2 months, Trent. And he said, I am going to walk her down that aisle. And they put him in one of these exoskeletons and basically retrained his own body to remember what it was like to walk again. And in 2 months, with this technology, he walked his daughter down the aisle using a cane. But nonetheless, he was ambulatory and just and you see this, though. There are just so many of these wonderful stories out there that more and more people need to hear. But I personally really appreciate your show because I'm one of those convicts. It's not my first language. You'll have to tell me the difference between the two. But, you know, if I could be king for a day, Trent, which is a very un-American thing to say.
I'm actually king for an hour, and I have an issue. Ben, we will be back with more Roll Route and see what he's going to do as king after this.
Just a quick reminder on Netflix, The Stand at Paxton County continues to be viewed. You continue to send me notes, and I want you to see the other side of the animal rights community that's infiltrating local law enforcement. The Stand at Paxton County. It's on Netflix. My partner in the movie, Michael O'Neill, sent me a note yesterday just checking on me. Isn't that nice? He is a great guy. Watch the movie, The Stand at Paxton County.
Welcome back to Roll Route, Trent Luce. Already into the second half of the journey on Veterans Day 2020. I'm going to put you on the spot just because, and you feel free.
Is this how you treat your guests, Trent?
It is. Yeah, and they always want to come back. Ben Bueller Garcia, my guest here today, American Warrior Radio. How many people died in World War One?
I had to take statistics 3 times in college just to pass, Trent.
You did pass, though?
Oh, well, with a C, but yeah, I got out.
C gets the degree.
I got released. Let's put it that way.
14 million.
Okay.
9 million soldiers. Sorry, Marines. I'm just lumping you in as a soldier in that statement. And 5 million civilians. 14 million people, Ben. That's a lot of folks.
I've been, since you and I got in touch, I'm thinking, well, you know, how do I make the connection between what Trent does and what I do? And really, we're using the same medium to do, hopefully achieve many of the things. And that's to bridge that gap of understanding between two populations. And, there's so many things that I never served in the military, Trent. My brother was in, Air Force. He was kind of a secret squirrel guy. But for all practical purposes, I didn't have much contact. And there's things that happen now. For example, I volunteer with a group that helps supports families of deploying airmen at the local Air Force base. And we have this special event where the families, all the kids get to take a little teddy bear and they stuff it and, you know, give it a little Air Force t-shirt. But there's a pressure-sensitive voice box that goes in each bear. And whoever's deploying, mom or dad, records a message on that. When their child misses them while they're overseas, they hug the bear, hear mom or dad's voice. So here comes this family, mom, dad, 3 handsome little boys, I don't know, ages 3 to about 7. And I was manning that voice box table. So I said, okay, which one of you is deploying? And he looks me in the eye, Trent, and he says, I'm going this month, she's going in 3.
Oh, wow.
And he said it like you and I would say, you know, I'm going out to the barn to check on the pigs. And I, as a civilian, my head exploded. I'm looking at this beautiful family, and I mom and dad are going to war. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and you said this before in our chat, these are all volunteers.
Yeah.
And none of these folks have been drafted. They're volunteering to, you know, to be away from their families so that we can be with ours. They're volunteering to run toward the sound of danger. They're pledging their literally in some cases their lives for us. And so many people go on about their day and don't even think about that. And today, of all days, Trent, I would just wish, well, 2 days, this, you know, Veterans Day and Memorial Day.
Right.
Stop, pause. If you know someone, just reach out to them, thank them, and just be grateful for these are intriguing times for all of our communities, but be grateful for what we do have. And how we're able to exercise those rights and opinions that just like you and I are doing right now.
Okay, I interrupted you. I have some statistics on families too, but I will get back to that. I interrupted you. You were going to be king for a day.
Thank you. I thought I got demoted just like that over the
Christmas
break.
No, you're still king for a day.
Okay, so I grew up overseas. My folks are missionaries, and I believe that has shaped the way I look at the world. And if I could be king for a day, I would require two things. One is every American young person at some point, I don't know, maybe junior year in high school, needs to spend a year somewhere overseas in another country just to learn how great we have it here and how good our system is. That's number one. Number two, every young person about the same age needs to spend a summer working on a farm, because so many, farm, you know, my dad's side of the family, the Buellers, all from South Dakota, farm area, little wide spot in the road called Emory, about, you know, population 50 on
Emory.
Sunday. You're probably familiar with that. And,
you know, that's just,
there you go.
I think it is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're very, wow. I should have prepared better.
I don't stay home much.
Yeah, that's good. That might be another king for a day thing, but I just wish people, there's so much to be learned, you know, work ethic and just about how, what it takes to actually to make it. I'll never forget, there was another young man I had on. He was the first surviving quadruple amputee from an IED attack, and North Dakota boy. And, you know, of all people in the world, Trent, who would have reason to just be angry with the world, this was the guy. But he was the most joyful, inspirational guy you'd ever want to meet. And if folks want to explore this, I've got over 300 interviews archived at my website, AmericanWarriorRadio.com.
300.
Yeah.
By the way, I was wrong. It's in Hanson County, a neighboring county to Howard County, South Dakota.
Okay. Yeah, you know, we still, when my grandpa died, he gave all the grandkids, all the grandkids a little bit of land. And one of my brothers sold his, but my other brother and I kept it in the family, and we leased it to a farmer to grow crops on. Cause I always want that dirt to remain in the family name. Mm-hmm. And, a great pheasant hunting area too. Maybe someday we'll put a cabin on there. But I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, because going from small towns to big city myself, firewood, Trent. It used to be I would go out in the woods, find a dead tree, chop it up, stoke the firewood for the winter. You know how much a quart of firewood costs in the city?
I have no clue.
It's like $100 for wood. Don't get me started.
Yeah. You live in Tucson. You need a fire to keep warm?
Believe it or not, well, I've gotten weak. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, pal. I've gotten weak in my old age. But, you know, believe it or not, we get a couple of freezes here. And, of course, the homes are not exactly built for that. A lot of folks are taking towels out and wrapping their pipes on those nights.
Yeah. One of my mentors, one of the guys who I banked on 20 years ago when I started doing this, lives just down the road from me the other way, Benson, Arizona.
Great little town. Pretty country.
You ever met Baxter Black?
I know of Baxter Black. I have never met him.
I suggest you do that. Just call him up. Tell him I said to come say hi.
Fair enough.
You know, I want to get back to 300 interviews, because the interviewing, like right now, a World War II veteran, in a fashion that you feel like the listener wants to stay with you, is so tough, because let's face it, they're not spring chickens. But when you have finished, it's so rewarding. Do you have that same emotional swing?
Yes, and we, and I don't want to leave out the first responders. That was something that we added probably about 2 years ago to the mix of guests on the show, because they're, you know, the role that they play protecting us on the home front is, and particularly nowadays in today's world, Trent, making sure that folks understand that the men and women who wear the badge are also there. You know, they're not our enemies. They're there to protect our families, and how important that is. But coming back to your point, I try and make a special effort to get as many World War II Korean era veterans on the show as possible, because they're fading. And for many of these folks, many of them still haven't talked about their time in war. And if we don't get those stories on record, they'll be lost forever. I mean, forever. And to some extent, war hasn't changed. You know, there's probably a Spartan somewhere griping about the food, but the stories. So coming back, I've had the chance to interview many World War II veterans, and one of the stories, there's a gentleman by the name of Douglas Dillard, Trent. He volunteered at 16. His mom signed the papers. He jumped in behind the enemy lines in France at the age of 17. He survived the Battle of the Bulge. He went on to lead partisans during the Korean War, and then went on to be involved in the Phoenix Project, if you know anything about that, in Vietnam. Pretty sporty business. And he's in the Army Intelligence Hall of Fame. I had him on the show to talk about World War II and the Battle of the Bulge. But as you mentioned before in our conversation, you know, there's often not enough time in one show to do that. And so I said, well, we really need, I want to have you back on. We need to get together again sometime. I said, yeah, let's do that sometime. Well, life happens, and about 6 months later, I got an email from his daughter saying, well, Doug passed. And so someday never came. And I've got a lot of – I try not to live with regret or have regrets in life, but that one is a tough one for me. So, yeah, I try and get as many of that generation on the show as possible. And you're right. There are just some plain old logistical challenges. I had a great veteran, wonderful story, but he didn't quite catch it when we took the commercial break, and when I came back to him, his stories were 5 minutes down the line that our listeners didn't get to hear. But, you know.
Yeah, and it's particularly hard when you do them on the phone or over medium instead of being in person. Sure. That makes them even more difficult. Sure. Of course, well, I have to tell you my favorite World War II, and this happened to be a friend of mine, Bill Nienhauser, the late Bill Nienhauser, who has now passed, from Concordia, Missouri. About 15 years ago, we did a cattle drive each year to celebrate the life of a young man, Houston Mull, who was taken from us at the age of 15. And my family has a history of breast cancer, and so we do this cattle drive, and I decided I was going to paint a mule pink. And anybody who wanted to get their picture taken on the mule, we'd accept a $25 donation to Fitzgibbon Cancer Center, a local cancer center in Marshall, Missouri. Well, the mule, whose name happened to be 11, had bucked me the day before. She didn't get me off, but she bucked. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't have people coming getting on this mule. And she's just not herself today. I don't know what's going on. Bill Nienhauser, World War II veteran, one of the first people to show up. Ah, Bill, I just don't think you ought to do this. Trent, I'm getting on that mule. You're not going to stop me. I said, Bill, she's just not herself today. She tried to buck. Trent, I don't think you understand. I survived D-Day. I'm not worried about this little old mule. Mm-hmm. You got it, Bill.
A good perspective.
I got to take a break. We only have one segment left, and there will be more. Ben Buehler Garcia, American Warrior Radio, 300 conversations for you to listen to. We'll be back with the final segment after this. So I mentioned the Certified Piedmontese program earlier. Part of that verification is the Neogen Identity Test. Take a tissue sample from each of your calves, and you can learn a lot, particularly about the genomics that are present. In the case of Piedmontese, we're looking for that myostatin gene. In other cases, you might be looking for stability, depending on what the database that has been put together. You can get a tremendous amount of information, from marbling to performance traits. We're on the cusp of disease-resistant. You cannot continue to go forward in the food business, in agriculture, farm to fork, without zeroing in on the predictability of genetics.
Neogen has perfected that. They've got a tremendous database to compare to. You can take a look at your genetic future. Contact Neogen to see about getting it done. Welcome back to Rural Route. Trent Luce alongside Ben Bueller Garcia joining us from Tucson, Arizona. I have one other one that just sticks in my mind that Phil Williams, Cottonwood, California. We did this very program together. I was in Cottonwood. You're going to have to correct me. It wasn't a B-17. I think it was a B-17 bomber. They flew 50 missions in 70 days. And anytime you flew 50 missions, you're sent home. Because that's nobody has ever done 50 missions in 70 days. And it was just amazing to walk through what this crew from Iowa had accomplished in that period of time.
We just did a remote broadcast, Trent, from the 390th Memorial Museum, which, by the way, if folks like that kind of stuff, the Pima Air and Space Museum here in Tucson is just it's got to be on your must-visit list. They are the largest, or if not the largest, one of the largest privately owned air and space museums in the world. And there's a kind of a museum within a museum that's devoted to the 390th Bomb Group and their activities during the Second World War. They, believe it or not, had the greatest record for one-day air-to-air shoot-downs of any of the bombers in the European theater. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Trent. There's a guy, and I can't think of his name, but he was a local kid here, I want to say from Bisbee, Arizona, who was such an ace. You know, aerial gunning, you're firing from a moving platform at a moving platform, and of those gunners I've talked to who were actually there, most of them never hit anything. But this guy was such an ace, the Army Air Corps actually sent someone up on a mission with him because they couldn't believe he was shooting down so many planes. But he actually wasn't. You know, he says it's from dove hunting. I learned at an early age how to lead a target, and that's all there is to that.
Yeah, you would think the training would include you don't shoot where they're at, you shoot where they're going. But that's easy for me to say sitting here in my chair.
True, very true. Well, there's so much to be learned from these. And I want to talk about the women too. One of the greatest interviews I ever had was Muriel Engelman, who was an Army nurse who survived the Battle of the Bulge and was there during that combat. So often, folks, you know, there's so many impressions or misrepresentations that folks have, but combat photographer. A young lady, and her story is very touching, Trent, and maybe comes back to the subject of today. She was a combat photographer, one of the best in her business, not a field that had a lot of women in it. And I'll never forget her quote in one interview. She said, it kind of struck me going back to a movie line. She says, well, you know, I opted to just carry my sidearm instead of the M4 because when the time came that I needed a rifle, there'd be plenty of them laying around. And she was blown up 3 times, had to be medically retired, and she's visiting the VA for her injuries. And the Red Cross had like a little cookie and punch table set up there. So she was hungry. She went up to grab a cookie, and the Red Cross volunteer, bless her heart, slapped her hand and said, no, those are for the veterans.
Oh.
And, of course, Stacy, I mean, people just assumed that because she was a woman, there's no way she could be a combat veteran. Mm-hmm. And that inspired her. She was sitting there, and there's a World War II veteran there who was kind of eyeballing her. So she was already in a bad mood over the cookie incident. She sort of challenged him. And he started telling her his story. And this her skill is she's just an amazing photographer. She's got a great eye. So she started a project called the Veterans Portrait Project, and she's photographing veterans all across the country. And some of these images are really, really powerful. So she's continuing to serve our communities and her fellow veterans by doing that. And that's something else I want to share on Veterans Day, Trent, is so many of these wonderful men and women, you know, eventually it comes to an end. And they, whether they're medically retired or they just have had enough or they've reached their retirement age, they're going back into our communities, and they are just such tremendous assets, and we should all embrace them and welcome them and help them make that transition, because it's not an easy one.
Yeah, and I'm thinking here, Ben, that we're talking about make sure you go visit with a veteran and record what you can. But many times we should be speaking to family members. Because family members, they're the ones that have first access. They know what we can or can't learn from these individuals. And all of the people that I've shared with you that were veterans that I've had memorable experiences with came to me, and I haven't even talked about Orville Gullickson in Taylor, North Dakota, came to me because somebody in their family reached out to me and said, you really need to visit with Orville. Well, whatever. You don't need to reach out. I'm speaking to the people who are in the family today. You don't need to reach. You have a phone, and that phone today will record. And the biggest challenge that Ben and I have is that when you put somebody on the radio, they feel like, oh, people are listening. If you just take your phone, set it up at home, and record them in their element, in their comfort zone, the valuable stuff that will be acquired is absolutely priceless.
Yeah, Trent, one of the best compliments I can ever receive from some of our guests, and, you know, some of them are just, you know, like that fellow from North Dakota or wherever they might be, that, you know, wide spot in the road, Kansas, but, and some are professionals. I mean, they're actors and actresses, but the best compliment I can receive is, you know, that was a very comfortable talk. You made me feel very comfortable. And what folks don't understand is that really it's just two folks having a chat, having a friendly chat around a campfire over a cup of coffee somewhere with lots of people, you know, thousands of people eavesdropping, but it's just a friendly chat. One other thing I've got to mention, I had a fellow on, Jason Burt, made me think of your most recent message. His dad was a trumpeter in an army band on the front lines in the Pacific and would literally do concerts with, you know, artillery going off in the background. Before they left the Pacific, they were allowed to record a brief concert there in their tent. And those recordings would have been lost to all time, except for his grandson. When he passed, they were cleaning out his attic and they found these original records, Trent. And what he's done is he's just had them remastered. They're being re-released. And so literally this is World War II music performed on the front lines that folks can buy now, and then all the proceeds will go to the USO. But that speaks, I think, to what you were saying, is that the next generations also have a responsibility and a duty to make sure these stories aren't forgotten.
You know why you make people feel so comfortable, Ben, is that you don't take some script that was sent to you the day before the interview and read it and then try to recreate it. You just have an organic conversation.
Yeah, okay. So maybe you and I have different styles, Mr. Luce. But as a fellow radio practitioner, I'll take your advice in the spirit which it was intended. I'm a city boy now, huh? That's what you're doing. You're busting my chops.
I didn't bring up that you're a city boy. You keep bringing it up, so obviously you feel guilty about that. You should move to Benson, Arizona and get a little ranch.
I am thinking, my wife, Trent, is, I mean, we love, there's a show on TV, Dr. Jeff, I think it is, pet vet. He's a veteran in Colorado, a veterinarian, I should say, in Colorado. Does wonderful stuff, lots. And every time we watch that show, Trent, I'm on the hook for a mini donkey or a horse or a pig.
I have a little black mini donkey that I would be glad to deliver, or you can pick up either one on your way to Emory, South Dakota.
I do get back to Emory on occasion, but so we're actually thinking of someday we need to go out, and I don't know if it'll be Benson, but there's some pretty country. I'd like to go a little further north, back up to the pine country, but someplace where we got lots of room to stretch out for lots of animals, and I can cut my own darn firewood without paying $100 a pork, you know?
Yeah, are you willing to heat up cedar? Are you willing to burn cedar?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, I can set you up then. No charge. Just come get it. It's like a Christmas tree. You cut.
I'm happy to put it. Actually, you know, one of my jobs paying for college was as a firefighter, and that I never wore the uniform, but I have been in plenty of situations where Trent, I see my role as the host of American Warrior Radio is really as a translator, because of 30 years of interacting and working and supporting military families. I do have maybe perhaps a little better grasp of what that life is like, and so I see part of my responsibility and role through American Warrior Radio is to be able to translate those experiences for the civilians out there, so they do understand. And, and you know, like I said, on veterans, I mean, to me, you know, simple things. I mean, do not go up to a veteran on Memorial Day and wish them a happy Memorial Day. That's not the day for that. Veterans Day is the day for that. And one thing I learned, Trent, that your listeners can maybe use is that for many of the Vietnam era veterans who were not welcomed home properly after that war, it's sometimes nice, instead of thanking them for their service, just say welcome home. Mm-hmm. And if they were deployed overseas and they hear that will mean something special to them.
I can't tell you the number of people who've reached out to me just because I talk about the All-American Beef Battalion on the air and say, thanks to what you're saying, I finally feel welcomed home. That's incredible.
Wow. That's quite the compliment.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
About 50 years too late.
Well, let me ask you this. Your turn to be on the hot seat, Trent. Why do you do what you do when it comes to thanking veterans? Why do you feel compelled to make sure that they're getting their fair due?
Probably a little bit of guilt because I did not serve, and I want to make sure that people respect and appreciate the sacrifices that, you know, what I've learned through the All-American Beef Battalion is it's not the sacrifice of the individual. The family, in most cases, sacrifices more. There's like an 80% divorce rate with deployed men and women in the United States military. There is a price to pay beyond just the life itself to represent and fight for our freedoms. And I just want to be a sounding board to make sure that people don't take that for granted.
Well done. Well done. You made me think of another fellow I had on the show, John Essinger. He's an interesting cat. He did two tours of duty in Vietnam, Trent, but was never in the military. And I'll leave it up to your listeners to figure the rest of that out. But Veterans Day is a particularly challenging time for him because, you know, is he a veteran? He you know, spilled the same blood, you know, used the same trenches, took the same fire as the folks in uniform, but he wasn't in uniform. And he's always felt guilty. He was getting paid a lot more than those soldiers. But I said, look, John, you tried. You tried to join and the Army wouldn't have you, and you went anyway. You know, good on you, brother. And, you know, same thing. Little boy from Texahoma, I think, was his hometown. A little white spot in the road down there. But so many stories out there and so many folks that, you know, don't be – sometimes it's obvious they're a veteran, but maybe do your little research and just reach out, shake a hand, and thanks for it. Or you just pause. Just pause today and think about – and I'm glad you mentioned that, Trent. It's, you know, when a soldier or an airman or a Marine or a sailor or a Coastie deploys, the whole family deploys. And folks need to keep that in mind, too. There might be some folks overseas now who got family overseas who could use a, you know, maybe a casserole or something, or a quart of firewood, cedar.
Perfect way to close, not with the cedar cord of firewood, but rather let's just pause for a moment to show our appreciation and respect. Ben Buehler, Garcia, can't wait to meet you. Stop by,
visit
pick
us.
Up that donkey.
Visit AmericanWarriorRadio.com so I can afford to buy my wife the donkey from Trent.
No, it's free. Just got to come get it.
Oh, we've it's not free, brother. You got to
down the road, connecting rural and urban America on Veterans Day 2020. Ben and I both say thank you. All roads do lead to a roll route.
Certified Piedmontese may be your future to getting paid correctly as a cattleman. LoneCreekCattleCo.com.